Jesus the good teacher, Jesus the therapist, Jesus the giver of bling. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. It's written by regular guest Dr. Matt Richard. Read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or purchase Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? By calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? First stanza of the hymn, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus, talking about following in his footsteps. Well, last week we heard Jesus calling us to follow in his footsteps. No student is greater than his master. And what he promised was persecution. If they have mistreated the master, what will they do with the students or the disciples? And there's more of that in the gospel reading, again from Matthew 10, in this coming Sunday's propers, according to the three-year lectionary. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. Carl Fikenscher joins us to look forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary. He's professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fikenscher, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd.
So our gospel reading for this coming Sunday has us, well, it's the third of three consecutive weeks, in fact, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus' instructions to the disciples as he's sending them out on their first mission. And for the second week in a row, we've got this Old Testament reading that's drawn from the Old Testament prophet, Jeremiah. That doesn't sound like a formula for an easy message, is it?
Not at all. Obviously, when you follow it up with a couple of Old Testament lessons from Jeremiah, you know it's a tough go. And likewise, when we realize what a challenging mission God sends all of his people out on, especially those disciples in their first go-round, you know it's going to be very, very difficult. And that's why, as you discussed in your lead-in, mentioned there, that not peace but a sword, that doesn't sound very appealing at all. So it's obviously going to be a tough one, no question about that. But we won't be surprised when our Lord comes through for us, as he always does when he calls upon us to do these difficult things.
So it's fitting for when Jesus calls these disciples. At first, the call is just come follow me. But by the time you get here to Matthew chapter 10, he's kind of laying it on the line for them, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Initially, the idea that we are called to be apostles, sent out to be Christ's missionaries, sounds very, very exciting. We said a couple of weeks ago, this is heady stuff. You know, they're really excited about having such an assignment. They've been picked as the elite, so to speak, from so many, many followers of Jesus. They want in, no doubt, at the beginning of Matthew chapter 10. By the end of Matthew chapter 10, they've got to be swallowing very, very hard. And, of course, after Jesus suffering, death, resurrection, ascension back to heaven, and the day of Pentecost, when they go out from there, it's going to be tougher yet. And it hasn't gotten easier for us over the last 2,000 years, as some of the discussion in the previous program about the Supreme Court activities reminds us.
So we're headed into the propers. We'll just take them in the order in which they ordinarily occur for us, and that would mean the intro at the entrance psalm comes first. What do we find there?
The intro, it sounds very pleasant from the beginning, but there are hints that will take us where ultimately the gospel lesson will also go. And that's not going to be inconsistent at all, because again, a Christian, as he follows Christ, as tough as it's going to be, will nevertheless have a deep, an underlying joy that comes from being about his business, even when things don't seem so easy. Our intro is from Psalm 89, with the antiphon being from verse 1 of Psalm 89. The psalmist says, I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exult in your name all the day, and in your righteousness are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor our horn is exalted, for our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. And the Gloria Patri, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Obviously, we start off with a lot of excitement here. Sing of the steadfast love of the Lord. We got something to sing about, and we always do as Christians. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, the big celebration, the shout that goes up when we celebrate a major festival. And all of that, of course, is a very exciting kind of thing to anticipate. We exalt in your name all the day, in your righteousness we are exalted. All that sounds very, very good, and in fact it is. But we go on, and there are a couple of hints that things aren't going to be quite so easy. The psalmist says, for you are the glory of their strength. By your favor, our horn is exalted, for our shield belongs to the Lord. Horn is a term that's used often in the Old Testament. It's actually a reference to the horns of animals, like a ram or a bighorn sheep or something like that. The horns that are the strength of the animal. It's what the animal uses to work out his territory, to ward off enemies, to stake his claim. He uses it in battle, actually. So horn is always used as an expression of strength, of power, but with an implication of opposition. And then, of course, our shield belongs to the Lord. No question, that's easy enough to see as an indication that there's going to be something coming our way, missiles, arrows, spears coming at us. And so when we talk about the Lord being our shield, the Lord being our horn, that always is a reminder that there will be opposition. And so then we look back a couple of verses and we see how crucial what we might have overlooked really is. It says in verse 15, blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exalt in your name all the day, and in your righteousness are exalted, for you are the glory of their strength. Not to be overlooked when we're enjoying this celebration, the festal shout, is that it's not talking about how great and powerful we are. It's always in your name, O Lord, your righteousness, you are the glory, that we have any reason to exalt at all. And the reason for that, of course, is that by our own power, if all we had was our own horn, or we were our own shield, we would be overwhelmed. In other words, the psalmist here is giving us a reminder that we have a great deal to celebrate. Absolutely we do. Real reason to exalt. But the only reason to exalt is that the Lord himself provides for us, cares for us, strengthens us, and especially shields us against the opposition that is absolutely going to come. And obviously in the lessons we're going to see that kind of opposition as a major theme going through the propers of the week.
The collect, how does it go, and what would you say about it?
Almighty God, by the working of your Holy Spirit, grant that we may gladly hear your word proclaimed among us and follow its directing. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Out of context, just any old day, we'd say, well, this is a very, very valuable reminder that God's word is proclaimed to us and that we should follow that word. We pray that God would enable us to follow that word. And that in itself, prayed any day of the week, any season of the church year, is, of course, very, very important and very, very valid. But this particular Sunday, when we hear it in the context of the opposition that Jesus is going to talk about in the gospel lesson, and that our psalmist has already alluded to in the intro, we realize that hearing God's word is tough when there is opposition. Following the direction of God's word is tough when there's opposition. If everything seems to be going well and we're getting nothing but good news from the Lord, then we say, sure, I'll follow that. Sounds great. On the other hand, when our Lord in his word directs us to do things that are not easy, that are going to be opposed, then it's only by the Holy Spirit enabling us to follow and believe that word that we could ever do it. Otherwise, we would turn tail and run. Absolutely. So I would say the collect this week is especially reminding us that what we hear proclaimed to us in the word is not always going to be the easy word that we want to hear. But nevertheless, it is the word to be followed.
And the verse is a perfect little microcosm of the gospel reading we're coming up on.
That's right. Often we don't look at our verse together, Todd, just because it very often is contained in the gospel reading, and it is this time too. It's from Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, so it's from the gospel reading, but it really capsulizes in these first propers that we're looking at the point we've been making. We saw the hint of the opposition that will be coming against us in the introit. We were reminded in the collect that we follow God's word when it's tough, and here's where Jesus really makes it very tough. The Alleluia verse. Alleluia, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus will elaborate on this for us in the gospel reading. In fact, this will culminate our gospel reading in just a few minutes. But notice this, Jesus calls us to lose our lives. And that's the kind of thing that's not easy for us to hear. When God's word tells us we're going to lose our lives, and that's the way that we're going to have life, then we swallow hard. And yes, without the Holy Spirit working faith in our hearts, we would never follow that word at all. So we'll hear that again coming up. But it makes it very clear in these first propers then that we're going to have a tough assignment that Jesus is calling us to do, something that is not going to be peaceful, nice and quiet and easy, but very, very tough. And Jesus calls us to be a part of that.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary, on this Monday, June the 26th. When we come back from this break, we'll be looking at the psalm appointed for this coming Sunday, which is a section of that long, that great Psalm 119. And the Old Testament reading, as promised, from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, dealing with another prophet, a false one, this time Hananiah. And the gospel reading, of course, Jesus says, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. All that with Dr. Carl Fikencher right after this.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
If you've ever attended an Issues Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and have wondered why more people from my congregation aren't here, check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so the pastors of your circuit can organize, promote, and present a seminar that appeals to the members of your congregation, even the youth, is provided free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org and click on the blue box, or check us out on Facebook.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which he won for us in his perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, gethsemane-lcms.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Real Reformation Radio, You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Let us offer here with Jesus and with patience bear our cross. Joy will follow all our sadness where He is, there is no loss. Though today we sorrow,
that's the hymn, Let Us Ever Walk With Jesus, the hymn of the day for this coming Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary. We're looking forward to that Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fakench of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fakench, we come to that psalm, at least a section of that long Psalm 119 that's laid out in Hebrew alphabet fashion near the end of the alphabet. It sounds an awful lot like the prophet Jeremiah, or what Jesus promises his disciples in that psalm.
It's chosen appropriately for the propers this week, no question about that. We know Psalm 119 shows up frequently, and we know the overall theme is the Torah, that is the Word of God that the believer just loves, just absorbs and lives in. But once again, the Word of God doesn't always give us an easy road to hoe. Here is Psalm 119, this time verses 153 through 160. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not keep your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust, because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. The psalmist recognizes that troubles are all around. Look on my affliction and deliver me. That's the way he begins right away. Down in verse 157, he says, many are my persecutors and my adversaries. The opposition is very real, and it's around us all the time, just as we see it around us every single day. We recognize how out of step we as faithful Bible Christians really are with the society as it's running in our day and age on sexual issues, marriage issues, things like abortion, but also above all else, simply in the matter of whether it's really necessary to have a Savior God in Christ Jesus who delivers us for eternity. That's very much out of step with the thinking around us. That's persecution. That's the basis for adversaries rising up against us and affliction, absolutely. But the psalmist knows where his relief is. He says, your law, your promise, your statutes, your rules, your testimonies, your commands, your precepts, your steadfast love, your word is truth. These Torah Psalms, like Psalm 119, again and again and again, come back to this idea that what God gives us in His Word, we can absolutely count on. And a reminder that when the word, the Torah, is translated as law in these Psalms, it's not just limited to what we speak of as law as opposed to gospel, but really in the Torah, that is, in especially the first five books of the Old Testament, there is plenty of rich gospel. Time and time and time again, the Savior Jesus Christ is prophesied. And the psalmist, as he is celebrating God's word, as he is relying on God's word, even in the face of afflictions and persecutors and adversaries, is not relying on how well he is obeying what God says to him. He is relying on God's mercy, God's grace in the prophesied Messiah, that then makes it a real joy to obey the statutes, to obey the rules and the commandments of God. So the psalmist knows that there will always be opposition. That is not a shock to him at all, but he also knows that he can rely on God's word as absolutely true. Your word is truth. And that, of course, is something we hear again and again, Jesus himself emphasizing that in John chapter 17, his high priestly prayer. It's what we can count on. And the word of truth ultimately always takes us to Jesus Christ himself.
What are the circumstances we encounter this Sunday as we continue a little bit reading in the prophet Jeremiah?
Jeremiah has a tough job. We've said that again, and we mentioned it again last week. Actually, that's a good question, Todd, because the preceding verses to our Old Testament reading, which won't be read, are actually pretty important. Jeremiah 28, verses 5 through 9 is the Old Testament reading that we'll actually hear on Sunday. But in the preceding verses, a false prophet by the name of Hananiah has come to the people and said this. This is in Jeremiah 28, verse 3, a couple of verses before our text. Within 2 years, I will bring back, speaking for Yahweh, Yahweh will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. Jeremiah prophesied throughout his ministry during the time of the Babylonian exile. And Jeremiah, who is in Judah, back in the home country, knows that there are people of God who are far away in captivity in Babylon, and that includes not just the people, but also at the sacking of the temple, those vessels that Hananiah refers to were taken away. That was a part of the disgrace, the suffering that God's people experienced when the temple was sacked, ransacked, so that now it was no longer a fit place for worship. But Hananiah, this false prophet, says, don't worry, guys, in just 2 years, it's all going to be okay again. All these things will be brought back, will be restored, everything will be fine. Okay? Now, we'd like to hear that. We'd all be glad to hear that. That's the message we'd all like to hear. It's even the message Jeremiah would like to hear. But now hear what Jeremiah actually has to say, beginning at verse 5. Verses 5 through 9 will be read Sunday in church. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah, the prophet, in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen! May the Lord do so! May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true, and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. We'd like that to be the case. Verse 7, Yet, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. Now, this is an interesting way for Jeremiah to speak, isn't it? Because he first of all says, Hananiah, I'm totally on board with what you got here. I want it to be exactly as you've said. I absolutely do. I really, really do. But think for just a second. The prophecy that is the most common, the easiest to make, just in terms of forecasting what's going to happen in this world, is war, famine, and pestilence. Okay? Time and time again, that's the message that prophets bring. And if a prophet is going to invent a message, that's the one that's a safe bet, you know, to tell the people there are going to be problems like war and famine and pestilence. That's the prophecy that's easy to make. It often comes true. On the other hand, Hananiah, what you have prophesied is peace, a wonderful, wonderful message that we want to be true. But as for the prophet who prophesies peace, well, we really can't count on that unless it in fact comes to pass, because that's the unusual circumstance. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. Now, Jeremiah is not saying that there will never be a prophecy of peace that in fact comes true. But his clear implication is, Hananiah, what you just said is what everybody wants to hear. We'd all like it to be true, but unless it comes true, we're going to know that you were ultimately saying only what people wanted to hear, which, of course, is always a way to make a prophet very popular, just as a pastor can be quite popular if he says things people want to hear. Again, it doesn't mean that's never going to happen, but Hananiah, not in your case. And the verses that follow make this very clear, because Jeremiah expressly declares the word of the Lord that really is the truth, that no, things are not going to suddenly be better in 2 years. It's going to be a long exile, and in fact, and Jeremiah says this, Hananiah, you're going to die for your false prophecy. You have not spoken this word from the Lord. You've said the thing that people want to hear because you wanted to say it. Unfortunately, that's not going to come to pass. Now, will there ever be a prophet who prophesies peace and it does come to pass? There will be, and we'll hear from him in our gospel reading. But of course, it's not going to be the way to peace that Hananiah would have us believe, and it's probably not the way to peace that we would like to hear from our Lord Jesus either. So, our Old Testament lesson is a magnificent table setter for what Jesus is going to give us in the gospel reading, and with an ironic twist, because Jeremiah has basically said, expect war, famine, pestilence, and expect peace to be a real long shot, even when the prophet who does prophesy peace truthfully comes along.
I have one more question on the Old Testament reading that we'll get to on the other side of the break about how appealing false prophecy sounds as opposed to the truth. Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary. And then we'll be talking about that gospel reading, not peace, but a sword.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision.
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Monday, June the 26th. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, Dr. Carl Fikencher, Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, is our guest. One quick question on that Old Testament reading before we go on to the Gospel, and then kind of out of order, you wanted to conclude with the Epistle reading for this coming Sunday. That question has to do with, and you alluded to this, how appealing often false teaching, false prophecy sounds in the ears of hearers, as opposed to sometimes the harsh and bitter truth of the truth.
Well, from the beginning, that is absolutely inevitable. And it's as simple as this. The unbeliever in us, the one who is turned in on himself, is totally opposed to the things of God. Because the things of God mean, number one, God is in charge, but number two, God is the gracious one who saves us. We, in our sinfulness, want to be God, we want to be in charge, we want to be in control of our ship, even saving ourselves. And so, whatever is false and contrary to God being God and God being our gracious Savior is always going to be appealing to our sinful nature. There are so many aspects of this. Anything that offers us salvation by our own works is far more appealing to the sinful nature than is the idea that God does it all, because that puts God in God's seat and takes us out. And there's so many various ways that this shows up, of course, from you know, simple works righteousness in all of its various forms, to thinking that everyone must sort of be okay, everyone must wind up in the right place, because of course that's a form of works righteousness. Whatever anybody is good enough already. He doesn't need God's way for salvation. And any kind of universalism like that says who's ever to say that anyone's going to be lost, and therefore who's ever to say that anyone shouldn't do this or that sort of thing in terms of lifestyle or sinful activities. All of those things are ultimately okay because we are all just people on equal terms without a God who is really in charge. Ultimately, because our sinful nature wants to be in charge, our sinful nature will always find anything false, contrary to God's teaching, God's one and only way, to be very, very appealing. And remember, there still is a sinful nature in every single one of us. So even we who are Christians and recognize that God is our Savior in Christ Jesus still have that old sinful nature saying, no, it's not that way. It's not that way. So even for us as Christians, false teachings have a universal appeal. And that appeal will never cease altogether until we're in heaven.
With about a minute here, would you read the Gospel reading before we get into it on the other side of the break?
We'll start with that. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 to 42. Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward.
That's the gospel reading for this coming Sunday from Matthew 10. We'll be talking about it with Dr. Carl Fikencher on the other side of the break as we look forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary. Dr. Carl Fikencher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and director of Preach the Word. Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching through video modules and accompanying resources, and also by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. You can learn more about Preach the Word at lcms.org/preachtheword. That's lcms.org/preachtheword. And after we've discussed the gospel reading, we will talk a little out of order about the epistle reading from Romans 7, about being released from the law and from sin.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
Stanza of the hymn, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus, the hymn of the day for this coming Sunday. We're looking forward to that Sunday, according to the three-year lectionary, with Dr. Carl Fikencher. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. After we conclude our conversation with Dr. Fikencher, walking through the gospel reading he read before the break and the theme and the epistle reading, Dr. Dean Wenthy will join us. We'll talk about the prophet Jeremiah. The church is remembering the prophet Jeremiah on this very day. Join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Dr. Fikencher, you read it before the break. Now take us into the gospel reading from Matthew 10.
Well, this, of course, makes pretty clear what we've been talking about all the way through, that the assignment that Jeremiah had, the assignment the apostles have as they go out in Matthew chapter 10, and likewise the assignment that we Christians have all the way through our lives will not be an easy one. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. There's going to be this opposition, father against son and daughter against mother and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. A person's enemies will be those of his own household, and so on. All very, very tough. The interesting fit here is between our gospel reading and what Jeremiah said for the Lord in our Old Testament lesson. Remember again, Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 9, as for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet, that particular prophet. So now Jesus comes on, and he says, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. We realize what Jesus is getting at. That opposition that he describes is absolutely going to be a reality for the Christian, for the whole church, until Christ returns, for the very reasons, Todd, that you brought out with your good question before. Why is it that false prophecy is so popular? Well, because it is, of course, exactly opposed to God's way and is completely in harmony with man's sinful way. So there's going to be that opposition. When a father is a believer in Christ and a son is an unbeliever, when a daughter is a believer in Christ and a mother is an unbeliever, when people in one's own household are split as to faith or unbelief, that absolutely is going to lead to opposition, to swords, to persecution. And that's why Jesus says, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. There's obviously going to be a real loss of life here. The question then really is there a prophet out there somewhere that Jeremiah was talking about who would prophesy peace and have it come to pass? We, of course, would like that to be Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And in fact, we shall not be disappointed. Even when Jesus says, I did not come to bring peace on the earth, but rather a sword, that in no way is contradicting what Jesus is ultimately bringing in terms of peace. The question is, what kind of peace? What are we expecting? If we're expecting a nice, easy way to go, if we're expecting for the apostles to go out and suddenly have the whole world jump into their arms and say, we're so delighted you've come, we're glad that you've given us this message. If we're expecting Jeremiah to say, no, we're not going to have everything back in order in 2 years, it's going to be a long exile. We've been sinful and there's real suffering that's ahead. If we're expecting that we would go and tell our father-in-law or brother or friend, you know, really, where you're headed is eternal damnation, but here is Jesus the Savior, and have that person then say, oh, great, I'm so glad you told me, we're going to be disappointed. If that's the kind of peace that we are anticipating, we will be sorely disappointed. The world will always continue to oppose the gospel. If a nice, easy, comfortable, agreeable situation is the kind of peace we're expecting, then we will not find it. We will have a sword instead. But Jesus does bring peace of a different kind. Jesus brings peace that comes through loss of life. Of course, when Jesus says, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me, Jesus is looking ahead to what will come up in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus himself will talk about going to the cross. We remember there Peter's opposition to that word. Even with Peter, one of the great apostles, that word did not go over well at all. When Jesus said there's going to be a sword, and the sword, first of all, is going to pierce me, I'm going to be nailed to the cross, I'm going to be killed, just as Simeon told my mother way back in the day of my presentation when I was 40 days old, Peter says, no, Lord, this will never happen to you. The real reason Peter didn't want that to happen to Jesus is because Peter knew, if I'm a disciple of Jesus and it happens to him, it'll happen to me. Exactly what we saw in last week's gospel reading when Jesus said, a disciple is never above the teacher. If they called the teacher Beelzebul, they'll do the same thing for you. If they kill the teacher, they're going to kill you. Peter didn't want that to happen. Peter wanted a nice, easy way to go. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Peter didn't want to have to pick up the cross and follow Jesus. But the cross is the way that real peace comes, beginning with the cross of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus' death on the cross has established real peace, peace between God and man, because it was our sin, our desiring all kinds of ways of our own, our opposing God's ways, that separated us from God. And when Jesus went to the cross and took those sins upon himself, we were reconciled to God. So then, as disciples of the one who has gone to the cross, we also must anticipate crosses of our own. Whoever finds his life, that is, the one who really wants to have this kind of life, this kind of peace, will lose it. Whoever loses his life, that is, the one who goes to whatever cross God has prepared for each one of us, for Jesus' sake, will find it. So there really is a magnificent peace that Jesus promises. It's just not the kind of peace that Hananiah was prophesying. It's not the kind of peace that we probably want or the disciples were expecting. Todd, that brings me to my theme for this week, and here it is. We're all eager to hear a word of peace, but the prophet whose peace will truly come to pass is the one who promises it through loss of life. Just like Hananiah's original audience in our Old Testament lesson, even Jeremiah himself, we'd love to hear a word of peace. We're all eager to hear a word of peace. Jeremiah himself said, may it be that way. May God make it exactly the way you've said, Hananiah. But, he went on to say, the one who prophesies peace and it comes to pass, well, that's the one that the Lord has sent. The prophet whose peace will truly come to pass is the one who promises it, promises peace, through loss of life. Jesus promises peace through loss of life. Above all else, his loss of life, his going to the cross. And then we who follow him as his disciples will also lose our lives in whatever way God prescribes, but ultimately that means putting Christ's things ahead of the things of this world and this life that we desire, and in following Christ to our crosses as he went to his, we absolutely do have the peace that comes true, the peace that does come to pass. Jesus is the prophet that Jeremiah was talking about, the one who really would bring peace that did in fact come to pass.
You wanted to save the epistle reading, which would normally come between the Old Testament and the Gospel reading. You wanted to save that for last here. Why is that and what's in it?
Because this reading from Romans chapter 7, Romans 7, 1 through 13, highlights what it means to die. As I read through it, listen and consider what Jesus has just been telling us about how we go to the cross, our own crosses, and how we must be prepared to lose our lives. St. Paul has a wonderful reminder that, in fact, we do lose our lives in a way that hurts, yes, but in a way that bears magnificent fruit. Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 13, we really understand it if we understand it in light of what Jesus has just said. St. Paul says, "Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress." Now that's, by the way, just really an illustration, absolutely true in applying to marriage, but Paul is using it here as an illustration. And he fleshes that out in verse 4. "Likewise, my brothers," in other words, here's the point of that illustration, "likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. When then shall we say that the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I once was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good, then, bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. This is our epistle lesson for this coming Sunday. And you notice how many times St. Paul talked about dying. He used the example, of course, first of all, of a husband and wife, and one could not be joined to someone else while the original partner is still alive. But if someone dies, then one is released. And that was the illustration of what has happened to us under the law. We have died to the law, that is, died to the obligation to obey the law for our salvation, to keep the law to earn our salvation through the body of Christ. But now that we have died to the law, died to obligation to keep the law for our salvation, do we then go on to sin? No. We now, as Paul says in verse 6, serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Jesus' apostles, Jeremiah, and we believers in Christ to this very day have died to the obligation to keep the law, so that now, when we are called to die for our faith, this is very much in keeping with what has already happened to us when we became believers through our baptisms. So now, having died to sin in our baptisms, we go forward boldly, even realizing that following Christ will cause us to lose our lives, will bring a sword, because we know that we have received that peace which Christ has secured for us by giving his life in the death on the cross.
So how would you summarize all of this, put it together for our listeners in terms of what we're really going to be getting this coming Sunday?
Once again, we'll hear that tough assignment from Jesus, that we must lose our lives, we must pick up our own crosses. We can't expect peace as in a nice, easy kind of life where everyone is finally going to embrace Christianity and therefore be proud of us and join with us. No, that's what we would all like to have happen. Of course we all would. Our sinful nature always wants to do things our own way as opposed to God's way. That's not going to happen. But instead, by bearing crosses, by losing our lives, by giving the tough message that we are sometimes commanded to give, just as Jeremiah was, just as the apostles were required to do, we really do have the great joy of peace with God through all eternity that comes by Jesus losing his life for us.
Dr. Carl Fakencher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. If you've ever considered the vocation of pastor or deaconess, why not make a visit this summer to Concordia Theological Seminary there in Fort Wayne? You can schedule a visit by calling 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or you can schedule a visit online at ctsfw.edu. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fakencher, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Todd. God's blessings to you.
Well, we've been hearing a lot about the prophet Jeremiah here as we look forward to Sunday morning, and we're going to hear a little bit more this time about him because the church remembers this famous prophet on this June 26th. He's one of those prophets that, not completely unique, but almost unique in that what he promises, what he foretells, what he warns about, really, he lives to see. He actually not only lives to see, he lives to participate in God's judgment that he so long and faithfully warns God's people is coming. We'll be talking about the prophet Jeremiah with Dr. Dean Winthy, author of the forthcoming Concordia Commentary on Jeremiah, right after the break.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at lutheranfcu.org.